Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we've opened the phone lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. Again, toll free, 1-800-677-9377. We invite you to call or keep listening to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question, including questions on the book of Revelation, or if you have a personal issue you'd like to talk about, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. It's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. This, of course, day 9 of our focus on the book of Revelation. Hope you're enjoying the study. Hope you're being edified by it. And hope you'll keep listening as Bob Christopher continues right now.
Well, thanks, Bob. For those of you who are listening who may not be a part of our email subscription list, we send out a Revelation daily. And whatever chapter we're covering on a particular day, that's what we review in this daily. And we post that on our website as well, basicgospel.net. Had a wonderful comment today from Rick. He says this: thanks, guys. God's timing is always correct. People need this reassurance with what is going on in the world today. Thanks for delivering these messages on Revelation. Yeah. And really, when you look at the overall message of this book, it is one of reassurance. We live in this world that is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-truth, anti-love. That's the way of the world. It is going in a completely different direction. And yet we're called to live in this world. And it's difficult. It's hard. Sometimes we feel like we're losing our way. We don't know where to turn. We don't know if we really belong to the world or belong to God. And God wants to reassure us time and time again that we truly are one of His, that we do belong, and that all the blessings that are found in Jesus Christ are ours, and we can experience those even in this world today that is so anti-God, so opposite of what God has called us to. And I think that's what this book of Revelation gives us, is just one more round of assurance, a round of assurance that we desperately need. There is a coming judgment on the world. We know the world is going to be destroyed, as Peter wrote in his second letter. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but then there's going to be a new earth, new heavens that come into existence. That's what we're anticipating. But sometimes you think, when is it ever when is it ever going to happen? Well, those judgments are coming, and that's what this chapter 8 is all about. We looked at chapter 6 where we saw some of the seal judgments. Here we're in the trumpet judgments. And in this particular chapter, we see, or we hear, the first four trumpets blasted. The chapter opens with the final seal being opened. There's a period of silence. And it's interesting, John just leaves it right there.
Yeah, just leaves it.
He doesn't explain it. He doesn't say, hey, this is the opening of, you know, the trumpets. We try to fill in the gap there. But I don't know that we're supposed to. And so we're just leaving it for what it is. It's just a silence in heaven.
Yeah, that's actually more ominous than all the busyness that follows.
Yes, indeed.
Just that silence. Now, it could be ominous good, or it could be ominous bad. And I think it depends on your relationship with Jesus, which that's going to be.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then we see angels standing before the throne, seven angels, and then they are issued trumpets, and each angel is to blow their trumpet. And in this chapter, we see the first four angels blowing their trumpets, and each trumpet brings about some type of judgment upon the world. This isn't necessarily on people, although some people are dying and various ones, but you know, there's a judgment against the earth. A third of the earth is burned. Then there's a judgment against, you know, the sea and everything in the sea. And then there's a judgment against the rivers. And then there's a judgment against the sun and the moon and the stars and all of that. And each of these, the number one third is very prevalent. A third of the earth was burned up. A third of the sea turned to blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. A third of the rivers were turned bitter. A third of the sun, a third of the moon, a third of the stars. All of this happened. And again, there's an ominous feel to all of this. And I think that number, one-third, represents that the judgment has begun, but there's still much more to come. And at the end of this chapter, we get that message very clearly. This eagle flies in midair and calls out in a loud voice, "You cowboys are never going to win against us."
Okay.
That's not exactly what it says right there. It says, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels. Judgment is coming upon those who do not belong to the Lord." That judgment is going to happen. Paul has talked about that in his letters, specifically in his letter, second letter to the Thessalonians. There's this cry that we have as believers. How long, Lord? How long do we have to wait? How long do we have to wait for your coming? How long do we have to wait for this resurrection of the body? How long do we have to wait before the restoration of all things occurs? How long? And how long do we have to suffer at the hands of ungodly men? When will we be avenged? When will all things be made right? And Paul answered very clearly in that second letter that when the Lord returns, all of that is going to happen, and judgment will fall upon those who do not know God and who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's basically what the message of this eagle is. It's a pointed message to those who belong to the earth, those who have rejected Christ, who have, who do not know God. These last three trumpets that we're going to talk about on Monday are going to show the judgment directed toward them. And again, is that going to be directed toward believers? Absolutely not. We've been sealed by the Spirit. We have been given the robes of righteousness. We stand as people of God, and we will be protected and saved from this wrath to come. That's the good news. That's the message John wants us to take away from reading this book, and that's why I said this book is a blessing to all those who read and all of those who take the message to heart.
This is Basic Gospel, and that is good news, Bob, and thank you for sharing that. And for those of you who didn't get Bob's alliteratory comment about Eagles and Cowboys, he was referring to the Cowboys not being able to beat the Philadelphia Eagles, so I guess we better explain that.
We probably should.
Okay, we do. Let's move along. 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines right now. Plenty of time on the clock. This is Basic Gospel. We want to share this particular time with you. So give us a call, friends, if you have something you'd like to discuss concerning the book of Revelation or some personal issue you might have, or if there's another Bible passage that is particularly troublesome for you, or maybe just a big question mark. Why, give us a call. 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a couple of questions contained in a short email from our friend Kelly in Tampa, Florida. This is regarding 2 Thessalonians 2:7. Her question, what is the secret power of lawlessness that is already at work? And also, who is the one restraining this lawlessness until he's taken out of the way? Would that be the Holy Spirit? If so, should the Spirit be removed during the end times? How would anyone be saved? Again, thank you for your insight. That's from Kelly in Tampa, Florida. So a twofold question there.
Well, that is a twofold question, and it certainly ties to this great book of Revelation. We want to know what's going to happen. Certainly the disciples, when Jesus warned them of what was to come, they were asking immediately, well, when, Lord? Give us times. Give us dates so that we can be prepared. And, you know, Jesus said, no one knows the times, no one knows the date. That's reserved for the Father. And at the appropriate time, these judgments will take place. But Paul is addressing that in 2 Thessalonians. He talked about the fact that in 1 Thessalonians, that those who have fallen asleep, when the Lord comes, they're going to be with the Lord. And then we will rise up to meet them, and we'll all be together as one body of believers. That's going to be a glorious time. And then he expounds on that in his second letter. And so he's talking about the time of the day of the Lord. That's what we're talking about in Revelation, isn't it, Richard?
Mm-hmm.
So there is this, rebellion, this lawlessness that is in the world today. And that's just the spirit of Antichrist. It's basically the world system, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's been here forever, ever since Adam and Eve fell, invited Satan to come in and be Lord of this earth, so to speak. And what God is doing, and what Paul and John and Peter, when they talk about end times, are explaining, is that God will strip the facade away from this hidden thing so we get to see it as it really is. So don't take the statement that the one who is holding it back is removed to mean that, oh, the Holy Spirit's going to be taken away from the earth. No, rather, the Holy Spirit is going to stop holding back what Satan is trying to do, because God wants to show Satan as the lying, cheating, murderous person that he is, so that everyone sees the clear contrast. The Holy Spirit is still here in us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. It's the children of God. So this isn't a reason to be afraid. It's another reason to rejoice, because it'll be made so clear that this is the perfect Jesus opposed to the perfectly evil Satan.
Absolutely. It's much like Hoover Dam. Here's this incredible engineering masterpiece that holds back the power of this river. At any time, we could open up the floodgates and that river would come flying out, streaming away, and people would feel the power of that. And I think that's basically what Paul is saying here, is that the Holy Spirit is that dam holding the power of Satan back. There's going to be a time where he lets go. But again, I think it's a very important point to realize: the Holy Spirit isn't being taken away. God isn't coming down and taking the Spirit out of this world. He's just saying, let go of Satan and let evil have its way in this world, so people can clearly see what that is. And we've actually had some glimpses of that throughout history. I think Nazi Germany was, just a little bit of God letting evil, take this huge turn, so to speak. And we see just how devastating evil really is.
Yeah.
I mean, we like to think of ourselves as basically good people.
Yeah, getting better all the time.
Getting better all the time. And that's just not the case, is it?
Not at all. And as an advertisement, stay tuned for Monday. We're going to talk more about this on Monday.
Yes, indeed.
It's really important to get the full story.
Right. So the spirit of Antichrist has been in the world since the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He has worked his magic through the world system. We're all kind of under control of that world system until we come to faith in Jesus Christ. We're rescued. We're taken out of that kingdom, out of that system. We're placed into the life of Jesus Christ. The life of Jesus Christ comes to live inside of us. We're new creatures in Christ. And through us, this kingdom of God is advancing in this world of darkness. And at some point, this kingdom of God will take complete control in a magnificent, glorious way.
Yeah.
And that's what the book of Revelation is all about.
Kelly, thank you for your question. And friends, if you can't get to the phone during the time we're actually on the air live, why, we encourage you to drop us an email. You can find the link at basicgospel.net, again, basicgospel.net, and we'll be glad to address your question by email on a later edition of Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk to Peter, listening to us on WMCA. Hey, Peter.
Hi, how you doing? It's my first time calling. I'm a relatively new believer. I left the Catholic Church in January of this year, and I belong to a Christian church now. And yesterday, I was in an auto parts parking lot, and a gentleman engaged me in conversation, first about something not related to Christ, but then he started talking about end times. So I said, are you a Christian? And he said, yes. So in the course of the conversation, I said, what church do you go to? He didn't answer. But eventually, I realized that he didn't believe that Jesus Christ was deity. And I said, well, what are you, a Jehovah's Witness? He said, yeah. And then he started to get into how the Bible clearly shows that Jesus is not Lord God. So I mentioned John 1, and he said, well, the Greek translation says that Jesus is a God, not the God. And I was kind of rattled. I mean, again, I'm a new believer. I called one of my elders, and he was explaining to me that that's not true. But, I kind of didn't have a lot of defense, you know, because he was quoting scriptures. So could you please, you know.
Well, he's quoting their interpretation of that scripture. So basically they believe that Jesus is God-like, but that he's not God as other scriptures bear witness. So that's the whole thing. They believe that, there's only God the Father, that there's no Godhead. So there's not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. So they have basically rewritten many of the passages in the New Testament, John 1:1 being one prime example. To align with their beliefs, but they're the only people that do that. There's
right.
No
he
one.
He also said that I realized. I said, "Are you saying that we're not saved by grace? That we also have to work for it?" He says, "Well, yeah." I says, "No. John 3:16 clearly says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It says nothing about us doing anything, any type of works. He really didn't have an answer for that.
Yeah. Well, they basically believe, and here's the deal. Everything hinges upon Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's revelation of himself to mankind. So everything that we know about God is going to come through Jesus Christ. And they believe that Jesus was merely an archangel, created as an archangel, much like Michael billions of years ago, and that he's godlike in some of his qualities, but he's not God. So they would not say that he and the Father are one. They would say that they are different. And so that's the big deal. They do not believe that Jesus is God, as the New Testament clearly asserts. Stick with the conversation there, Peter. And it sounds like you've been well grounded.
Yes.
Coming to Christ just at the beginning of this year, you are well grounded, my friend, in the basics of the gospel.
I must say that I got my groundness. I was going to a Catholic church, but I started on the advice of a Christian coworker to read the Bible because we were in a conversation about sin and the Catholic belief, venial sin, mortal sin. She says, read the Bible. And then I started listening to Christian radio. I started listening to the true gospel. And really, eventually, I reached a point where I was going to the Catholic Church, and I couldn't say some of the prayers because it wasn't biblical. And then eventually I finally left this January. But
yeah. So it's all about truth, isn't it, Peter? Coming to truth.
It's all about truth. And I must say, in my case, and when I give my testimony, I always explain this, that I really came to Christ. Christ revealed himself to me through Christian radio, because I was listening to R.C. Sproul. I mean, on WMCA, there's a lot of different programs, and there's also, it's not one, you have different points of view, but that one common thread is where we all believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the second person of the Holy Trinity, and he is the Lord God, and it's only by grace we are saved.
Absolutely. So that well stated, my friend. That's a powerful testimony. Let me do this. We have a resource that was put together by a friend of the ministry, Ron Rhodes. It's the 10 most important things you can say to a Jehovah's Witness. And Ron is a biblical researcher. He has spent hours upon hours researching the beliefs of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And he's juiced down the most important things for the layman to know and to understand, and provides some conversation pieces to insert into talks that you have with those who claim to be Jehovah Witnesses. So I'd love to send this to you.
Okay.
Let me put you on hold, and we will put it into your hands, okay?
Okay, thank you so much. God bless.
Hey, you too, Peter. Thanks for your call, and thanks for just being hungry for the Lord and for his word. That's Amen. A great encouragement. Amen. You hang on.
We have a full online store that you'll find at store.basicgospel.net, and you'll find the 10 most important things you can say to a Jehovah's Witness or to a Mormon, in that, including other items for your spiritual growth and maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ, a full resource bank, if you will, at store.basicgospel.net. We hope you'll take advantage of it, friends. Last question on the broadcast today from Laurent, who writes to us from Moline, Illinois. He says, you guys, I know, believe that election involves people groups, but was wondering about Acts 13:48 that says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. To me, that implies personal election. Can this be explained? That's from Ron in Moline, Illinois.
Well, certainly it can be explained. Again, salvation is available to all, and all who call upon the name of the Lord are saved. That's the election process. So there's an offer and there's an acceptance, and that coupled together becomes the electing, the choosing out from the world unto salvation. That's how God works. And we all, when we tell our stories, we tell our stories in human terms that, we were struggling. We got to the end of our ropes. We didn't know where to turn. And God in his mercy revealed his son to us, and we received and believed and were made new in Christ. That's how we tell the story. And that's the only way that we can really fully understand the story. None of that would have happened without God's initiation of sending his Spirit to us to reveal Jesus to us. So we all say that it's all God and none of us.
Yeah.
So that's how I think that passage should be read. Yeah.
Well, thanks for your question, Ron. We appreciate hearing from you. And as we close today's broadcast, Bob and Richard, and to all of our listeners, thanks for joining us. And a reminder that we have that special little booklet called Our Guaranteed Future for you. It's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And for a gift of $50 or more, you'll receive not only this booklet, but Richard Piper's series, 8-CD series called Revelation, It's No Mystery as well. It's a great offer, friends, a great way to keep Basic Gospel on the air, because we definitely need your support. Your help is absolutely vital for us to continue each day. So again, the booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, yours for a gift of any amount, that booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, for a donation of $50 or more. To make the donation of your choice, simply go online to basicgospel.net, again, basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. That's 1-800-727-2828. Well, that's our time for this particular edition, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Until Monday at the same time, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and all the ministry staff, Bob Davis, and God bless you, and have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. See you back on Monday. Bye-bye.